Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Tonight we bring you a chilling Halloween tale called The Pipe. It was published anonymously. Our story for tonight revolves around a mysterious pipe, a gift from one collector to another. It arrived with this note.
My dear Pew, I hope you will like the pipe which I send with this. It is a rather curious example of a certain school of Indian carving, and is a present from yours truly, Joseph Tress.
It really was very generous of Tress. Very generous. Even more so since Tress was not in the habit of giving gifts. The truth is that when I saw the pipe, I was amazed. It was contained in a sandalwood box, which was illustrated with remarkable carvings. I use the word remarkable loosely because, although the workmanship was artistic, the result could not be described as beautiful. The carver had ornamented the box with some of the ugliest figures I have ever seen. They appeared to be devils. The pipe itself was worthy of the case. It was of meerschaum, with an amber mouthpiece. It was too large for ordinary smoking, but then, of course, one doesn't smoke a pipe like that. The glory of the pipe, as Tress had suggested, lay in its carving. Not that I thought it was beautiful, any more than the carving on the box, but, as Tress said in his note, it was curious. The stem and the bowl were quite plain, but on the edge of the bowl was perched some kind of lizard. I told myself it was an octopus when I first saw it, but I have since had reason to believe that it was some very rare member of the lizard tribe. The creature was represented as climbing over the edge of the bowl down towards the stem, with its legs, or feelers, or tentacles sprawling all around it. Two or three of them were twined around the bowl, two or three of them were twisted round the stem, and one, a particularly horrible one, was uplifted in the air, so that if you put the pipe in your mouth, the thing was pointing straight at your nose. It was particularly unnerving that the creature was hideously lifelike. It appeared to have been carved in amber, but some coloring matter must have been introduced, for inside the amber, the creature was of a peculiarly ghastly green. The more I examined the pipe, the more amazed I was at Tress's generosity. He and I are rival collectors, and while his collection contains a few decent specimens, it would be absurd to compare it with mine. Tress knows this, and he resents it. We even had words over it once.
The one specimen I own, which was Sir Walter Raleigh's pipe, is worth more than your whole collection.
That old forgery? Why, it's not worth the cost of a new corn cob.
You, sir, know nothing about pipes and are nothing more than an ignorant ass.
I forgave him these unkind remarks, but he was not the sort of person who might give me presents. And what a present! The more I looked at it, the more my amazement grew. The beast perched upon the edge of the bowl was so lifelike, its two bead-like eyes seemed to gleam at me with positively human intelligence. The pipe fascinated me to such an extent that I actually resolved to smoke it. I filled it with perique. Ordinarily, I use bird's eye, but on those very rare occasions on which I use a specimen, I smoke perique. I lit up with a sensation of excitement. As I did so, I kept my eyes fixed upon the beast. The beast pointed its upraised tentacle directly at me. As I inhaled the pungent tobacco, the tentacle seemed to be vibrating, which may have only been my hand shaking, but then it seemed to actually be moving. Elongating, stretching forward, that is, farther toward me, toward the tip of my nose. I took the pipe out of my mouth and examined it closely. Surely, it was just an illusion created by a cunning artist. Replacing the pipe between my lips, I took several whiffs. Never had smoking had such an effect on me before. I seemed, without an instant's warning, to be passing into some land of dreams. I saw the beast, which was perched upon the bowl, writhe and twist. I saw it lift itself bodily from the meerschaum.
Feeling better now?
Tress? What are you doing here? What's the matter? Have I been ill?
You appear to have been some kind of swoon.
Swoon? Why, I never did such a thing in my life.
Neither did I until I smoked that pipe.
Where am I? I feel strange, dazed.
So did I when I smoked that pipe. You're on the couch in your own room. You were on the floor, but I thought it would be better to put you on the couch. Though no one helped me when I was on the floor.
What are you doing here?
Ah, that's the question. The truth is that when I sent you the pipe, I made a slight omission.
An omission?
I omitted telling you not to smoke it.
Why?
Because, well, I believe the thing is drugged.
Drugged?
Or poisoned.
Poisoned?
Here's how it is. It's not often that I smoke a specimen, but for some reason I smoked this one. How long I continue to smoke, I cannot say. It affected me the same way it seems to have affected you. When I came to, I was lying on the floor.
On the floor?
On the floor. In about as uncomfortable a position as you can imagine. I was lying face down with my legs bent under me. At first, I thought I'd had a stroke. But then, it didn't feel like a stroke. Right beside me was the pipe, which had fallen to the floor. I assumed, considering how delicate it is, that it must have been damaged in the fall. But when I picked it up, I found it completely intact. Then it hit me. Could it have been the pipe that caused my fainting spell? Suppose it was drugged. I've heard of things like that. All my symptoms pointed to drug poisoning, though what drug it might have been, I had no idea. So, I decided to test the pipe again.
On yourself? Or on someone else? Namely me.
On myself, Pew, you ass. On myself. At that point, I hadn't even thought of you. I lit up and had another smoke.
And what happened?
The result was the same. I established that the pipe was drugged, but there was more to it than that.
Did you pass out again?
I did, but something more mysterious happened as well.
And based on that, you decided to pass the pipe on to me?
Based partly on that, and partly on other things.
Well, I appreciate your generosity, but you might have told me the thing was poisoned.
That's true. But you have told me several times that you never smoke your best specimens.
But you still might have given me some hint that the thing would knock me clear out.
That occurred to me afterwards, which is why I called on you this evening to correct my slight omission.
Slight omission? I wonder what you would have called if you had found me dead.
If I knew you intended to smoke it, it would not have surprised me to find you dead.
Really, Tress, your generosity is overwhelming. And where is the pipe now? Have you pocketed it? Are you taking your treasure back? Or is it smashed to bits from my collapse?
Neither. The pipe is on the table, and I do not want it back. It is not damaged in any way. In my opinion, it cannot be damaged, but that's just conjecture on my part. Of course, since you know what it is capable of doing, you will not want to smoke it again. So you are free to add it to your collection, and be proud that you are the owner of what might be the most remarkable pipe in existence. And with that, I bid you goodbye. Don't concern yourself. I will see myself out. Oh, but before I go, there is one thing I might mention, especially since I know it won't make any difference to you.
That depends on what it is. If you have changed your mind and want the pipe back, I tell you frankly that I won't do it. I don't believe in giving back gifts once they have been given.
No, I don't want it back. You can rest easy on that point. But I do want to tell you why I gave it to you.
You have told me that already.
Only partly, Pew. Only partly. You don't suppose I gave you the pipe merely because it is drugged? Hardly. I gave it to you because I discovered through indisputable empirical evidence that it is haunted.
Haunted?
Yes, haunted. Take good care of yourself, Pew. Goodbye.
Wait, Tress, don't go yet. What do you mean it's haunted? Why are you talking such nonsense?
Of course it's nonsense. We both know that any talk about evil spirits and hauntings is nonsense. But if you ever have reason to think that there's something more to it, something besides nonsense, you may want to look me up. No, I don't want that pipe back under any circumstances. It is yours now, your possession, and your problem.
The bang of the front door told me that he had gone. And I let him go. I laughed to myself, standing in the middle of my room, haunted. Well, he was not fooling me. I saw his ruse at once. The truth of the matter was that he did want the pipe back, and would do or say anything to get it. He was aware that I believed in ghosts and supernatural visitations, and all sorts of paranormal happenings, so it was shrewd on his part to try to scare me into giving it back. But he should have known that it would never work. Of all things on earth that I might be afraid of, a pipe was not one of them. It was absurd to think that a smoking device, a thing made of meerschaum and amber, could be haunted. A pipe. A mere pipe. I was holding the pipe in my hand, regarding it affectionately, as a true connoisseur would. Then I looked closer. The creature's legs were twined right round the bowl when I got it. Two, if not three, of the creature's tentacles had been firmly wrapped around the base of the pipe. Now they were almost entirely detached, only the tips of its claws touching the meerschaum, and those particular tentacles were gathered up as though the creature was in the act of springing. Of course, I must have been seeing things. All the same, when I saw that dreadful-looking animal poised on the extreme edge of the bowl, looking like it was ready to spring, it startled me. I remembered that when I was smoking the pipe, I thought I saw the uplifted tentacle moving, as though it was reaching out to me. And I clearly recalled that just as I was sinking into unconsciousness, I had seen the creature writhing and twisting, as if it had suddenly come to life. I put the pipe back in the sandalwood box and locked the box in a cabinet. Whether the pipe was actually haunted or not, it was beginning to haunt me. I could not stop thinking about it. When I fell asleep at night, it filled my dreams, and such horrible dreams. Perhaps I had not yet fully recovered from the effects of the poison. Before the night was over, I wish I had never seen the pipe. I woke from one nightmare and fell immediately into another. The dream repeated itself over and over. A hideous green reptile kept advancing on me out of the darkness, slowly, inch by inch, until it clutched me round the neck and glued its lips to mine, sucking the blood out of my veins as it embraced me with its slimy tentacles. When I woke the next morning, I could not keep my hands from trembling. If this was going to continue, I would have to get rid of the pipe. Tress would get a laugh out of it, but I could not go on like this. With a feeling of foreboding, I went to the cabinet with the sandalwood box and took out the pipe. As I held it in my hand, my nervousness seemed to vanish. How could I have imagined such terrible things? It was just a pipe, one that was so hideous, it was lovely. The creature was in exactly the same position where I had left it the day before, as, of course, I knew it would be, poised, as if about to spring. I was telling myself how foolish I had been when my old friend Martin Brasher arrived, with Tress in tow. Martin and I have a common interest, ghosts, only we approach them from different points of view. He takes the scientific, psychological side. He is always anxious to hear of a ghost so that he can disprove it.
Hello, Pew. I met Tress on the street a bit ago, and he told me about your pipe. My business here is purely scientific and perhaps judicial in nature. Our object is the pursuit of truth and the advancement of inquiry. Are we agreed on that?
Of course.
Our friend here tells me that the pipe is haunted.
I say it is haunted because it is haunted.
In matters of the supernatural, there is a scientific and non-scientific method of inquiry. The scientific method is to begin at the beginning. May I ask how this pipe came into your possession?
You may ask, but that doesn't mean I have to tell you.
Surely your object like ours is the pursuit of truth and the advancement of inquiry.
In this case, the advancement of inquiry might be a little awkward for me.
Really? What have you got to hide, Tress? Did you acquire the pipe through nefarious means that might incriminate you? Come on. We all know each other here.
You're right, Brasher. It is silly for me to try to conceal anything from you two. We all know a lot about each other. Both the good and the bad. I'll tell you where I got it. I stole it.
Stole it?
That's right. I stole it. All collectors steal. The Eighth Commandment does not apply to them. Why, Pew there has purloined 3/4 of the pipes which presently adorn his collection.
That's a lie.
But I felt so strange about this particular pipe when I had obtained it that I put it away for 3 months. When I took it out to have a look at it, something about the thing fascinated me so much that I resolved to smoke it. Considering the extraordinary circumstances which put the pipe in my possession, and on which I would rather not dwell. You don't like to dwell on those sort of things, do you, Pew? I really knew nothing about the pipe. Just like Pew, everything I know about that pipe I have learned from practical experience, first-hand evidence, and because of that, I believe the pipe is, well, I said haunted, but you can use any word you like.
Tell us, as briefly as possible, what it was you learned. What have you discovered?
Take the pipe out of the box. Yes, thank you, Pew. There, you see the creature on it? Well, when I first had it, that thing was underneath the pipe.
How do you mean, underneath? the pipe.
It was bunched together underneath the stem, just at the end of the mouthpiece, in the same way that a fly suspends itself from the ceiling. When I began to smoke the pipe, I saw the creature move.
But I thought you became unconscious immediately.
Not immediately. Not before I saw the thing moving. That was why I tried it the second time. I thought I must have been delirious from the drug. The second time I smoked it, I took a powerful stimulant beforehand, and this helped me resist the narcotic effect longer than before. I watched in horror as the creature crawled along the stem and over the bowl. It still runs chills up my spine. Seeing that, I don't know, it just kind of made me crazy. That's when I decided to send the pipe to Pew. Oh yes, there's one more thing I should point out before the discussion continues. When the pipe left my possession, the creature's legs were twined about the bowl. Now, they have loosened. Perhaps Pew can shed more light on this based on his own experiences with the pipe.
I certainly believe that I saw the creature move, but then I thought I was under the influence of drugs and was just seeing things.
No, that's not true. You saw it with your own eyes. That pipe is bewitched, Pew. You've been looking for the devil a long time, and you've got him at last.
I wish you wouldn't talk that way, Tress. It makes me nervous.
I have to say, Tress, that I don't think those kinds of remarks are appropriate. At the same time, what you have told us is very interesting. But what I require, of course, is a demonstration. I haven't seen the effects of the drug or the movement of the creature myself.
No, but you will very soon if you take a pull off that pipe. Do it, Brasher. You can see for yourself.
From what you are saying, then, it appears that the creature only moves when the pipe is smoked. Let's take that as point number one.
Here's a match, Brasher. Light up, and you will arrive at point number two.
Thank you, but no, Mr. Tress. I am not a smoker, as you know. I have no desire to take up the habit by smoking a poison pipe.
Then I tell you what I'll do. I'll get Bob.
Bob? Who is Bob? Oh, you mean the fellow who was with us.
Yes, that's Bob. He is my assistant, an old military friend of mine. He follows me everywhere I go. He is probably loitering around outside, waiting for us to come out.
He is even more depraved than his employer. The man is little more than a derelict.
Oh, tell the truth, Pew. You have never liked Bob since he caught you stealing Magellan's pipe at that collector's showing.
I did not steal it. The truth is that I had my handkerchief in my hand, and it just casually dropped onto the pipe, and I unconsciously slipped it into my coat pocket along with my handkerchief. It was completely an innocent act on my part. But why do you want Bob? What can he possibly contribute?
I'll get him to smoke the pipe. He won't do him any harm.
What? It's a poison pipe.
It's not poisoned, only drugged.
Only drugged? Why? We don't even know what kind of drug it is.
Oh, don't get so wrought up. Nothing hurts Bob. He's like an ostrich. His digestive tract is made of steel. The pipe will only have the same effect on him that it did on me. And Pew. It will knock his brain into his watch pocket. It is all done in the pursuit of truth and the advancement of inquiry. Right, Brasher?
I don't particularly like my own words being thrown back at me like that.
What about you, Pew? What do you think?
I don't see that the matter really concerns me directly. You chose to poison the man. It's your affair, not mine.
All right, just a moment. Bob, you out there? Come here, you pinhead.
Yes, Mr. Tress?
Do you have any brandy, Pew?
Yes, certainly. There's a decanter right here on the buffet.
Bob, what would you say to a glass full of brandy? The real thing, my man.
Thank you, sir.
And what would you say to a pull at a pipe while you drink your brandy?
A pipe? I'd do it for a dollar, sir.
A dollar? Bob, act like your old self and be a good for nothing.
Whoops, I actually meant $5, sir.
$5? Why, that's extortion.
I should have said $10.
$10? Have you ever heard such a thing? A man asking $10 to take a few puffs off a pipe? Hey, Pew, lend me $10.
I'm afraid I left my wallet in my trousers when I sent them to the cleaners this morning.
Well, surely you have some money here. Look around.
All right. Yes, here are $3 under the fruit bowl.
All right, give them to me. Brasher, lend me $7.
Yes, just a moment. Let's see, $7. Here you go.
Bet we never see that money again.
All right, Bob. Here is $10 and some brandy. Drink up.
That was mighty good.
And here's the pipe.
Is it poisoned, sir?
Poisoned? What do you mean?
It isn't the first time I've seen your trick, sir, is it now? And you don't give out $10 for nothing at all. If it kills me, you'll send my body to my grandmother, won't you? She'd like that.
Send your body to your grandmother? You idiot, sit down and smoke. Here's the pipe. Do you want me to light it for you?
Thank you, sir. I'll light it myself if it's all the same to you. I got matches right here. It's a beautiful pipe, it is. I never seen the like of it for ugliness. And what's the slimy-looking varmint that looks like it's getting ready to attack me? Is it living or is it dead?
Come on, Bob. We don't want to sit here all day. It's just a pipe.
Well, sir, the look of this here pipe has upset my stomach. I'd like another drop of that liquor, if it's all the same to you.
Another drop? Why, you've had a tumbler full already. Look, here's another tumbler full to put on top of that. Now, drink it down and light the pipe.
Yes, sir. Here goes.
There. It's lit. Now you'll see the devil moving.
See what?
Bob, you numbskull, put that pipe back in your mouth and smoke it for all you're worth.
Yeah, I was doing that, but I really want to know if this here varmint's dead or whether he isn't. I don't want to have him flying at my nose, and he looks wicked.
Give me back that $10, you thief, and get out.
I ain't going to give you back no $10.
Then smoke that pipe.
I am smoking it, ain't I?
Now, gather round.
What's going on here? I ain't going to have you playing none of your tricks on me. I know there's something up, but I ain't going to throw my life away for $10. No, sir, I ain't.
As I live, Bob, if you try to cheat me by taking that pipe out of your mouth one more time, I will throw you bodily out of this room and never consider you a friend of mine ever again.
All right, I'm puffing. See?
What did I tell you? There, that tentacle is moving.
The uplifted tentacle was moving. It was doing what I had seen it do. It was reaching forward. Surely Bob saw what it was doing. Perhaps it was the stern warning of Tress, or perhaps it was the drug already beginning to take effect, but Bob did not withdraw the pipe again. He watched the slowly advancing tentacle coming closer and closer toward his nose with an expression of intense horror. Further and further the creature reached until the tentacle was slowly lowered and rested on the stem of the pipe. For a moment, the creature remained motionless. Then suddenly the hideous reptile was seized with a fit of convulsive shuddering. It seemed to be in agony. It trembled so violently that I expected to see it loosen its hold of the stem and fall to the ground. I stole a glance at Bob. As he saw that dreadful creature coming to life within an inch or two of his nose, his eyes dilated to twice their usual size. I hoped, for his sake, that the drug would take hold quickly and that unconsciousness would save him from this terror. But Bob just puffed on steadily. The creature's shuddering became more violent. It appeared to swell before our eyes. Then, just as suddenly as it began, the shuddering ceased, and the creature began to crawl along the stem of the pipe. It moved slowly, the merest fraction of an inch at a time. But still it moved. Our eyes were riveted on it with a nauseous fascination. My dreams were nothing compared to this. Slowly, slowly it went nearer and nearer to Bob's nose. It seemed to be straining as it moved, shuddering as though it were in pain. We were all, for our part, speechless. Bob kept puffing, and on went the creature, on in its infinitesimal progression. I was spellbound. I wanted to scream, but could not utter a sound. I couldn't do anything but watch. The creature had reached the end of the stem. It was within an inch of touching Bob's skin. Still on it went, slowly, laboriously, until it was actually touching the tip of Bob's nose. I expected to see it sink its claws into Bob's skin when it began to oscillate from side to side. Then its oscillations increased in violence and it fell to the floor. That same instant, Bob succumbed to the narcotic and slipped sideways out of the chair, the pipe still held tightly between his jaws. We were silent. There lay Bob. Close beside him lay the creature. It had fallen on its back. Its feelers were extended upward. They were writhing and twisting and turning in the air. Tress was the first to speak.
Good Lord, what is it?
Pew, do you have any pliers or tongs we can use to move that thing?
Just a moment. There are tongs in this drawer.
All right. I've got hold of it. Some kind of strange lizard from the look of it. Get a towel and I'll put it on the table and we can take a good look at it.
Yes, of course. A towel.
And you can use my penknife.
Yes, very good. Thank you. I will make a small incision here and, yes, just as I thought.
What? What is it?
See how it writhes and twists? And this viscous liquid on the tip of the blade, that's blood. This thing is alive.
Alive?
Yes, alive. That's it. That's the secret of the pipe.
But
no buts, Pew. The mystery's solved. You see, the person I got the pipe from was an Indian juggler with many tricks of the trade. He got hold of this rare poisonous reptile and covered it with some preparation of possibly gum arabic. He allowed this to harden. Then he stuck the thing, still living, because these kinds of lizards are hard to kill, to the pipe. The result was that when anyone lit up, the warmth was transmitted to the lizard, which delivered its poison through the smoke. At the same time, the heat worked on the adhesive agent, again some type of gum, moistening it, and the creature, with great difficulty, was able to move. But this lizard's traveling days are over. It is a nasty little thing. Here, give me the penknife, Brasher.
What? You want to kill it? No, I can't let you do that. This is a beautiful, rare creature. It's not the lizard's fault that it uses its poison as a defensive mechanism against predators, or that some conjurer decided to coat him with gum and stick him to a pipe. No, this little fellow has been mistreated, and I will take him to a zoo. They will know what to do and should enjoy having such a rare specimen. Do you have a glass jar handy, Pew? Something to transport him in?
A glass jar? Of course. I have one right here.
Hello? What happened?
We've emptied the bottle, Bob. But I bet Pew can scare up another one. Would you like another drink, Bob?
Yeah, another drink would be nice. But if y'all got rid of that varmint, what I'd really like is a few more puffs off that pipe.
And so ends our story of The Pipe, which was published anonymously, a little Halloween treat from your friends at Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. According to a footnote at the end of the tale, the basis of the story is fact, not fantasy, that just the right lizard with just the right gum could produce the effects in the story. Take a good close look at your pipe. We here at Maplewood Barn cannot really say one way or the other. None of us is willing to try it. Our players for this show were Terry Yates as Pew, Joe Bogue as Tress, Byron Scott was Brasher, and Brad Buchanan was Bob. Thanks for listening, and we hope you will tune in again next week at the same time for another classic story from the Maplewood Barn Radio Players, right here on KBIA. Happy Halloween!